I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Men and women of the Justice Department engaged in what has become the largest investigation in our history. In November last, I appointed Jack Smith, a special counsel, to take on the ongoing investigation in order to underline the department's commitment to accountability and independence. Mr. Smith and his team of experienced, principled, career agents and prosecutors have followed the facts and the law wherever they lead.
B.S. That was A.G. Merrick Garland. And I, every time he says career prosecutor, that frightens me immediately. That says swamp. They came from the swamp. They are the swamp. And they're doing the swamp leader's bidding at this point. Well, thanks for joining us. Here we are, August 3rd, 2023. We do during the noon hour today and tomorrow for the final times. Have a live stream. You can join and pull it up later if you can't join at that time. The reason is because starting Monday, here's your big news for you. Larry Connors USA, the daily report, had been limited to just 1 hour because of your demand to hear more and hear it back to back and to stay on top of things, and sponsors also wanting more of the program. The higher bees here at News Talk STL have decided, voila, they parted the curtain, and I thank them very much. In parting the curtain, they've decided the Larry Connors USA Daily Report will now be a full 2 hours starting Monday from 6 to 8. I mean, we're going to be locking things in for you. And as always, if you can't catch all of it, you can always pull it up later at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Everything will be available, and we'll be putting up a stream of the program while it's underway. So here we are again, August 3rd. There was Merrick Garland talking about, we have done everything. We've got career politicians. If we'd ever get the oatmeal out of your mouth, I might understand you better. But I know your intent. Your intent was never to have a fair investigation. That's why he appoints his special counsel, Jack Smith. And Jack Smith the other day when he came out, it was almost, quite honestly, and I'm watching him, he didn't see him as emboldened and ready to go. It's almost like, you know, we got to do this because just the day before, Devin Archer was testifying, damn it. So what can we do to take the media attention, as if the state-controlled media bothered with the Devin Archer story? But what can we do to swing it back around and focus on Trump? Special Counsel Rich.
Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with conspiring to defraud the United States, conspiring to disenfranchise voters, and conspiring and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding. The indictment was issued by a grand jury of citizens here in the District of Columbia, and it sets forth the crimes charged in detail.
Yeah, it did set them forth in detail, and I apologize. I called him Rich because I think he is rich and is an idiot. Truthfully, instead of Jack Smith, which is his name, and I'm going to have to apologize in person to Big and Rich because I'm thinking about John Rich. I apologize also to their fans. So there was Jack Smith talking about we came down with this indictment. And I pointed out that to you yesterday, but it's worth reemphasizing because we're going to break it down in more detail today. Reminding you that one of those charges actually does carry the death penalty. The death penalty. Because all this is centered around January 6th. And the question still remains, as Trump raised it the other day, and we all have, if you had all this, you have it now, or you had it yesterday, or the day before, and you're waiting to drop it when you had to have some kind of new shiny thing to put in front of everyone, in addition to Devin Archer and anything that would be damning to Biden, why did you wait this long if it were that big of a case? Timing, my friend. You can't pull the cake out of the oven until it's done. And it was not quite done, and I think that might have been reason why Jack Smith was just didn't seem to me as solid and as confident as he had previously when he was announcing the Miami case. And it was also a tit-for-tat all the way down. But U.S. Code, 18 U.S. Code 241, conspiracy against rights. That's one of the charges, one of the four filed in this latest indictment. Includes a penalty of up to 10 years in federal prison. Okay. But it adds, the death penalty can be placed in play if the actions covered under this provision, someone is killed. The offender might be executed. Well, we had Ashley Babbitt, Ashley Babbitt, killed the other day, one of the rioters on January 6th, I should say, by a law enforcement officer inside the House chambers when she's trying to crawl through the window. No one else was killed that day. There were some other deaths, one related to a heart attack. It may not have happened, did not happen at that point. And another one might have been one of the protesters or someone who showed up at the Capitol who had a heart attack. And then a couple of days later, one of the Capitol officers commits suicide and supposedly linked to the trauma of PTSD. But they put that in there, and of course, there is no way in hell Trump is going to be convicted on this. The other issue that comes in the midst of all these charges, they've got so many things they have to prove that are in the ether. You're going to have to be not only pulling a rabbit out of the hat, you have to pull a whole 85-car train with a caboose out of the hat to really impress anybody this time around. But the timing, Florida Congressman Corey Mills said, yeah, just look at that timing.
Each time that there has been a new investigation or a new hearing or a federal document 1023, which is released, they immediately go ahead and try to burn up the media cycle to cover down the Biden crime family. Look, we're now seeing where this is a continual weaponization by the Department of Justice, by Merrick Garland, and by the Biden administration to try and go after their top political opponent. And at this point, it's hard to ignore that this is anything other than election interference.
It is election interference. We can't ignore that because that's the entire intent from the beginning. Do anything we can to demonize Donald Trump. Even if it relies upon lies, have been debunked. Yes, they have been debunked. The Russian collusion story, we now know it was all unveiled by Hillary Clinton and working with the DNC. They created it and feds used it. FBI agents who were partial to Hillary and anti-Trump lied to a federal judge to get the FISA warrants to carry out various wiretaps, and they stood by it, even while Obama, Biden, Attorney General Lynch at that time, FBI Director Comey at that time, were all told it's all fake as far as the Steele dossier that is supposedly the link between Trump and Russia. But let's don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. Alan Dershowitz, esteemed Harvard professor emeritus, also had his reaction to this series of indictments.
Well, it's far more serious than any of the previous indictments. It really alleges a scheme to undo American democracy and to deny voters the right to elect their president. The problem is the evidence doesn't seem to support those very serious charges. In order to prove the case, the government will have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Trump himself actually believed he lost the election fair and square. That's going to be difficult to do. The charge itself is very serious, far more serious than mere possession of classified material, waving a document in front of somebody and bragging that he could have declassified it, and certainly far, far more serious than the absurd New York indictment. There's yet another indictment likely to come in Georgia, but this is probably the most serious indictment with some of the weakest evidence.
The weakest evidence. Let's go back to what Special Counsel Smith said the other day and announcing how all this falls upon Trump because of January 6th.
The attack on our nation's capital on January 6th, 2021 was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. As described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies. Lies by the defendant targeted at obstructing a bedrock function of the U.S. government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election. Since the attack on our Capitol, the Department of Justice has remained committed to ensuring accountability for those criminally responsible for what happened that day. This case is brought consistent with that commitment, and our investigation of other individuals continues.
So they continue all of this. You know, he just convinced me. Trump's guilty, right? You buy into that? Not so fast. Alan Dershowitz said, where's the real evidence?
We have to wait and see if they can come up with more evidence than they already have. But I don't see a smoking gun here. I don't see anybody who can credibly testify that Trump himself believed that the election was fair and that he legitimately lost. And if he himself believed it, even if he talked himself into it, that may be a complete defense to charges of corrupt intention. Remember, a politician can't be prosecuted for not telling the truth or for expressing an opinion different from the government's. The Supreme Court has held that under the First Amendment, there's no such thing as a false opinion or a false idea. The answer to false ideas and false opinions is the marketplace of ideas, not criminal indictments. So they will have to prove that he actually believed that he was defrauding the public and the people who he asked to be as serve as alternate electors because he knew that the election had been fair. I don't think they can prove that.
No, they'd have to be mind readers. I don't know if anybody can get inside Donald Trump's mind. Florida Congressman Mills again said, who's to really say what Trump was thinking or believing at any given moment?
Not only do you have to try and prove malice, but you have to show whereby this is actually preventing government functions. That's the whole thing that Jack Smith's trying to say, is that it was an obstruction of government functions, or that it was knowingly trying to deny certain government rights, which is your rights to vote, which that's not the case. So the reality is that they're just trying to utilize any type of trumped up charges to indict the president so they can actually try and prevent him from being the top political opponent. But also they see the polls.
Yeah.
You know, every time the president goes up in the polls, every time that they continue to try and uncover what Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family has done, and James Biden and Haley Biden and all the rest, then that's when these indictments start to come down, and it's occurred ever since A.G. Bragg.
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea that these four charges that they're trying to claim are obstructions or some types of a violation of knowing conspiracy is an absolute joke, and Jack Smith knows that if this was tried in court, that if this went to the Supreme Court, that it would be over returned because it is, in fact, covered by our First Amendment free speech.
Free speech. Free speech. Remember that First Amendment? Here's where, again, Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz comes in and reminds us of a congressional law that originally enacted in 1798 that has been since dismissed. It is a fascinating story.
How many congressmen are there and senators who have campaigned on what turned out to be false statements, having false statements has been part of American politics since we overruled essentially the Alien and Sedition Acts in the beginning of the 19th century.
He is referring again to that 1798 Act, the Alien and Sedition Acts. I love the fact he says, how many politicians could you put on trial for lying? You don't have enough courts. They would outnumber the January 6th number, believe me. But that Alien and Sedition Act, placed in law 1798, a set of four laws that applied restrictions to immigration and speech in the U.S. The whole idea was, you don't speak against the president. You don't speak against anybody that's in power. That's what we escaped from leaving England. Can't speak against the king. And then they put it back in place in this country in 1798, but they had other parts to it that they were trying to keep together. But the actual act got rejected, repealed in 1802. But there's another issue out of many that Dershowitz is looking at, not just violation of free speech, trying to get inside Trump's mind, and that in itself is a violation. He says you got to look at the judge on this case.
This is the worst possible judge to sit on this case. Her experience all comes from being a lawyer in the Boies Schiller firm, which is a firm that has been accused often of corrupt misconduct. I got them disqualified in a case recently in which I was on the other side. It's a highly partisan Democratic firm, which pays money in one case. They contributed a lot of money to the district attorney of Manhattan and got him to drop an investigation, in my opinion, at least. So her experience in the Boies Schiller firm, I think, disqualifies her from the appearance of justice. People will know that this is unfair. She's also been very, very tough on the demonstrators on January 6th.
Yes, she has, because out of the writers that she sentenced, putting down harsh sentences for everyone she could, all 11 defendants that went before her are behind bars. The 61-year-old judge nominated by Barack Obama, and then, of course, her firm also worked with Hunter Biden at one point. And then to have the trial of Donald Trump in one of the bluest, deep blue areas of the world, Dershowitz says, are you kidding me?
I can't imagine a worse place to try this case than the most extreme anti-Trump district in the United States of America, Washington, D.C. This case should be transferred to a different judge in Virginia or West Virginia or some purple state where you can get fair justice. I don't think that the American public will see that justice has been done with this judge and this venue.
Riddle me this. Whether you be a Trump hater or just kind of indifferent, take Trump out of the equation. Just look at any case. Let's say it's you. Let's put you on trial. And it happens to have among the jury pool, it's taking place in a very small town, 80% of the town are related to your ex-wife who is going after you for something. Do you think you're going to get a legitimate trial and jury out of that pool of possible judges that would be your peers as you go forward, as they judge you, listening to testimony? And the judge, he or she, might also be a close ally to your friend. That's why you have a change of venue. If you can't get an untainted pool, you have to go somewhere else. If the publicity is so big, and who in the hell could say, oh, I didn't know anything about this, I haven't heard anything. If they say it, they're lying. Now the question is, can you put that aside and rely only on the facts we present you? If so, then you might be placed on the jury. Wink, wink. I didn't know anything about it, but whatever I know, yeah, I can be fair. Uh-huh, I can. Hang the man. I can be fair. Well, coming up, I've got a guest from the Heritage Foundation, did a great piece on, do you have to be a Trump supporter to see that a lot of this is wrong and unfair and a violation of the First Amendment? And also, Tucker Carlson does a sit-down in his latest Twitter edition with Devin Archer. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. I called a Wellington. A crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My next guest is picking up on the point we've been discussing, that a lot of these charges, you have to be inside Donald Trump's mind. Yeah, really. I mean, if you're going to prove he did anything wrong, and then again, if it's his thoughts, what about your First Amendment issue? Well, the guest is senior editor of The Federalist, David Harsanyi, and glad to have you with us again, sir.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So this latest Trump indictment, as you wrote, in your basic principle is, the latest Trump indictment is a clear attack on the First Amendment.
Yeah, I mean, I think the entire premise of all four are predicated on thought and speech crimes, meaning Donald Trump believes something or doesn't believe something or says something or doesn't say something. I'm not a lawyer, but if you can prosecute people for believing let's say it's a crackpot theory about the election. It doesn't really matter what it's about. And because he believes these things, he's now part of a conspiracy, to undermine the election, which, you know, he had many lawyers doing things that were legal to do. There's no real, in my view, at least, there's no real nexus or connection between any real illegality and what he was thinking or saying. And they definitely didn't make a case that he incited a riot that day. So he's not part of a conspirator with people who were rioting. He definitely doesn't meet that standard or threshold under the law. So to me, whether you like Donald Trump, you don't like Donald Trump, you know, if you're going to start prosecuting people for things that they're thinking and saying or for listening to lawyers that you don't like, that lets the government go after you for virtually any reason it wants.
Well, let's deal with that point you just raised, whether you like Donald Trump or not. Now, you quote in this article, or it's written by you, of course, and am I reading it right? I make sure I'm not missing something in here. You say, I'm certainly no fan of Donald
Trump.
Right,
I mean,
right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm one of these reflexive crazy haters. I, you know, when he does something good, I praise the good thing that he did, and sometimes when I think he doesn't do good things, I'm critical of him. I think that's how everyone should be about the world. I don't like politicians in general. I'm not going to like Donald Trump anymore.
My God, at the Federalists, you're dealing with them on a constant basis.
Well, yeah, I guess that my whole professional life is dealing with something I dislike, but, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not really a big fan. I actually don't think that he acted the right way on that day. I think he said things that were pretty reckless. But you know what? It's America, and you get to say what you want to say. And I just don't feel like, listen, the other case with the documents case, I think that also is nonsense, frankly. But it's, you know, and it is a, how can I say, it's based on arbitrary use of law and power, meaning right. that Hillary can get away with it, right. Biden can get away with it, but Trump can't. But at least it's based in some law. This is completely a novel theory that Jack Smith has come up with that, you know, goes back to, you know, to the late 1800s. It's not a real thing. And frankly, I just think it's a political thing anyway. He just wants to make January 6th the centerpiece of the political debate going into the presidential election next year.
David, I point out to this audience the day it happened, and I condemned it. And I said, it's not a patriotic act. And I think, I agree with you that Trump did not handle it the best way he could. But, and I also pointed out it was going to have a life longer than the cockroach. They're going to use it forever against the Republicans and Trump in particular. But also on that day, they were often omitting the statement where Trump was saying, go to the Capitol, make your voices heard. I just heard the other day on one of the networks, can't recall which one, and I think they're finally coming around and say, well, yeah, we don't have tape of him saying, go down there and attack people and attack police and do whatever you can to destroy. I mean, he said, go down, make your voice heard. They're finally acknowledging that, almost like, yeah, Hunter Biden talked to Daddy and Daddy talked to Hunter, but Joe wasn't in the business. In other words, they're beginning to spin that story. Other words,
yeah.
Every politician lies, as Alan Dershowitz was quoted earlier.
Yeah, I mean, they pretend like January 6th was a pre-planned riot, that everyone who was there was going to riot, that everyone who was there was going to overturn U.S. democracy. First of all, again, I think the people who did certain things acted in a really despicable, un-American fashion. However, none of them were even close to ever overturning American democracy. That's a complete fantasy. January 6th shaman guy was not going to take the gavel and run the country. It's just complete nonsense.
He was being led around by Capitol Police, shown different rooms, never threatened to attack them. They were leading him around. And if they had Donald Trump on tape saying, go down there and attack and kill and maim and threaten, and they would use it wall-to-wall coverage. And you mentioned Hillary. I want to come back to the charges in a moment, but you mentioned compared to how the documents with Hillary, I think I saw that your good Washington Conservative paper had pointed out that, 30,000 of her files were just dealing with her recipes. How would they know? Because they were destroyed. That's just somebody's conjecture saying there's nothing with the Hillary case, so don't compare it.
Yeah, but how about her and the DNC coming up with the Steele dossier and file, and then it being laundered through media and everything? I mean, that's a conspiracy to defraud the American people in
David,
the same way that
you're running the narrative. You're ruining the narrative. Don't go there.
I think that if you're signing papers, let's say that you're not, or you're doing something that's illegal, that's fine. I mean, but I don't think Hillary Clinton deserves to be indicted for that. She deserves to be indicted for having her own secret server that she had classified documents on, but she doesn't deserve to be indicted because the press doesn't do its job. And you know what I'm saying? So, and how can you imagine now that you have a federal government that's going to bore into the souls of politicians and see if what they're saying is true or not? I don't know. Try to prove that Donald Trump didn't believe the election was stolen from him. I would not want to do that. Maybe one day he believed it and the other it didn't. Maybe he always believed it. Maybe he never believed. There's no way for you to know, nor can the government figure it out, or should it even want to figure out if that's true. It's just not within its purview.
Well, I still believe in Santa Claus, so please don't destroy my vision of my beliefs, please. But we look at these charges that were filed. And again, the January 6th committee was all about trying to overthrow the government. That was the whole idea. I'm looking at these charges. I see 18 U.S.C. 241, conspiracy against rights. I look at one of the other charges out of the four issued the other day. 18 U.S.C. 371, conspiracy to defraud the U.S., 18 U.S.C. 1512, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, 18 U.S.C. Code 1512, obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding. I don't see trying to overthrow the U.S. government in any of these charges.
Well, the second two charges, they never make the connection that he was, you know, part of any group that wanted to stop the U.S. government from functioning. He tried to convince people to take certain positions, which is within his right, whether you think he's right about it or not. Like, let me give you an example. I mean, Al Gore in 2000 and his lawyers, they tried all kinds of things like this to do all kinds of things like this. It wasn't until the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court of the United States had to put an end to it. Before that, you know, they tried everything. They tried to discount ballots. They tried to discount the ballots of overseas people. They wanted, you know, they did all kinds of things that could be construed as trying to undermine the process of the United States government. That's how we do it. This is a political issue. This is how we deal with elections.
So,
So
if you're going to refer to Al Gore, I mean, once he was out and no longer had a chance, he found a new occupation and to warn that the earth would end within 30 years if we didn't get control of climate change. We should not even be here today.
Sometimes I wish he was right.
In many ways.
It's very surreal what's going on. You know, it's very surreal. The president of the United States and by the way, it's on record in the New York Times that he ordered, not ordered, but he asked Garland to go after and indict the leading candidate for the other party. I mean, that is banana republic stuff. And it's not like if Donald Trump, if there was some kind of case where Donald Trump did something that was obviously illegal and you want to indict him, I don't think he should be above the law. But this is a novel theory here where you have to read his mind. That is not a normal indictment against a former president and leading candidate for the other party right now.
Again, you're listening to David Harsanyi with the senior editor of The Federalist. And if you're talking about the fact that, well, he didn't believe the election was fair and it's stolen, and so he wanted to do something to fight back. And the one phrase, go give them hell, I don't know how many football coaches haven't told their team before they go on the field. They don't mean go out there and kill anybody. They just go out there and, you know, do the best you can. And if you're going to look on that basis, you point out in your own article, how about Stacey Abrams or Hillary Clinton? They've still yet to concede, truly concede, they lost.
Yeah, nor, you know, listen, nor do they have to, or is it illegal for them or anything like that? They don't have to do it. But this, you know, how many times, you do know how many times politicians use, warlike analogies in sports and in politics and elsewhere. I don't believe, but I know that it can't be proved that Donald Trump wanted there to be a riot on the Capitol that day. Those people were not any kind of organized political unit. That was not a coup. It was a political riot. And I mentioned this in the column, but you could just as easily, or I think even sometimes make a better case that plenty of Democrat politicians then deserve to be, that many Democratic politicians incited the riots in 2020 for Black Lives Matter. I mean, they were saying all kinds of politically charged things, and then people rioted. Are you going to blame them? Will they be? I know they won't be, but should they be, tried?
No. Even Congresswoman Maxine Waters even said, if you see Trump or any of his staff, you go out there and you get in their face, and they're not welcome here. In other words, physically almost attack them. She didn't say actually hit them, but that's the implication.
Chuck Schumer threatened the Supreme Court.
Yes, you're right. As he stood there and said, you're going to reap the whirlwind for the Roe v. Wade. David Harsanyi, as always, we thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. We'll do it again. Excellent. I love having him on board. Coming up, what Obama says Biden's chances are of losing to Trump. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. Allen, OutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Must be the whiskey. I've been drinking to remember and drinking to forget. I got I Love You on my mind. I got Jim Beam on my breath and loneliness has got the rest. I've got nothing left within me. Must be the whiskey.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know, that song that Quinn pulled up at that point might be the perfect reason for the story I'm getting ready to read to you. Must have been the whiskey, because here's the story, as reported by the Washington Post, of course picked up by Breitbart, which is conservative, also picked up by The Hill, which is not so conservative. Now, here we go. You're going to love this. As written by The Hill, I'll stick with their story for a moment. Former President Barack Obama pledged during a recent lunch with President Biden at the White House he'd do all he can to support Biden's reelection and reportedly stressed that Donald Trump remains a formidable political foe, I should say. Must be the whiskey. The Washington Post reporting, again, this is the Washington Post reporting, that Obama voiced concerns about Trump's political strengths, such as his intensely loyal base of supporters, political polarization, the conservative media world backing him. Well, I'll stop there for a second. The state-controlled media, when I say state-controlled, that is all of the legacy media. The New York Times, the old great lady, and you've got the networks, ABC, NBC, and of course then you got the cable networks, CNN and MSNBC. That's a massive amount of media compared to little old Fox, which is obviously pretty big, obviously, but that's one entity. I mean, if you go through the channels, you're going to see a lot more negativity and negative reports and negative media than you're going to see conservative. And you're going through the channels, you're going to find very few that are going to be looking for an opportunity to fight, even on woke issues, because they don't dare get into that fight. They might be canceled. But when you have Obama giving advice to his former vice president and saying, I'm going to do all I can to drive up your reelection campaign. Now, again, this is according to the Washington Post, which let me add right now, after the story broke, what did the White House do? Two words. When I was teaching reporters, I said, you're going to run into two words that will be with you forever in your career, and you're going to have to learn to deal with it. You need to learn to get around it. You're going to have to find ways and questions that will try to get additional input, but the two words are no comment. That's like taking the Fifth Amendment. It's not necessarily on the Constitution and protecting your rights and so forth, but no comment means we're done. That's it. No comment. No comment. What about that? No comment. Do you like your wife? No comment. Wait, I might want to change that one. So you're going to have to find some questions you can open them up. I know I fully expected to get a no comment from a Texas legislator one time when I was trying to do an interview with him, and we had him dead to right, and he later got charged with it, of using his Franklin privilege. That was basically using stamps provided to members of the legislature to mail out campaign materials and things of that nature. Not really campaign materials, but information from their office, not campaign, but everything they send out you can count as campaign material for the future. Well, that's wrong. You can't do that. It's not to be used that way. It's for official mailings of informing your constituents. He knew what I wanted to ask. And my cameraman's getting set up. I said, well, I'm not going to, you're going to ask me about that, and I don't want to talk about that. I said, well, I was going to ask you if your county is showing more growth lately because of this and that. Oh, okay. So the lights are on, the camera's rolling. My first question to him is your county showing more growth now that you got this new oil industry? Yes, it is, Larry. I'm glad you brought that up. We're doing just great. I see a great time ahead of us. And then I asked another question. You know what the question was. He didn't see that one coming. What about this allegation? You're using stamps in an illegal way. And great camera interview, because he spins around and walked off shouting over his shoulder, no comment. And he was furious. Later came to me, you said you wouldn't ask that. I said, didn't say that. I didn't say I wouldn't ask that. I told you I wanted to ask, and I did. The first question never got used. The answer, I could care less. But otherwise, I wasn't going to get anything out of him. If you're going to believe the Washington Post, and I'm going to in this case, because the White House is saying no comment, Eric Schultz, a senior advisor to Obama, also declined to comment, but said in a statement to The Hill that Obama, quote, looks forward supporting Democrats up and down the ballot next fall, and no race has bigger stakes than the presidential race. No kidding. No kidding. Actually, he said no bigger stakes than President Biden's reelection. But here's the key. This little tete-a-tete that they had in a luncheon late in June at the White House residence, basically making it clear to Biden that there's so many things on Trump's side that could be damning to you. Let's go over again. The intensely loyal base. They are loyal, and unfortunately, some are loyal to a fault. Yes, I said that. Some are loyal to a fault. You can't be that way. They follow way too blindly. They don't just put on blinders, they put on blindfolds. That's not a good idea for anyone. There is no perfect man on this earth except for one time. That was Jesus Christ. As much as I want you to believe in me and I have credibility, I would always say question me. Asking the poker players I'm with, they question me all the time. Ah, you're bluffing. But the other thing he pointed out is the political polarization. And yes, that is true. We have a lot of that right now. And that's why this New York Times poll survey the other day stating from the New York Times, they are basically tied 43-43. And in between, because those do not add up to 100. If you do your ciphering, you know, that doesn't make 100. Out of those remaining, a lot of them might end up being not any above. They don't want either one of them. So let's see what candidate can come to the top out of primarily the Republican side and the Democrat side. I'm already beginning to hear word that, oh, Michelle's going to come in. That could be another issue because she's carrying baggage that has been unveiled in a new book and a film that shows she acts like she grew up in the South Side and poor and everything else. No, she was not. And she went to a private school, I believe a Catholic school. Her parents had money. She was not that poor. And for Trump, Barack Obama, his grandmother, he even admitted his white grandmother often feared, quote, black people. And by the way, Michelle was often called an Oreo. She didn't like it. She got bullied because he was too white. See, this is the kind of stuff that's divisive. It's not good for the nation. I go again back to what Vivek Ramaswamy said the other day, and I think the man nailed it. It's not between being Democrat or Republican, Trump or Biden. You either love this country and you want to support it and see it grow and you don't want to hurt it. He said that's 80%. The 20% are there that hate the country and want to see it destroyed or make it basically a chance for them to make more and more money. That divide, I think that's what we push. That's why I always say that one of the prime missions of this program is not politics, not to push Donald Trump, or even Republicans. I do push conservative views. I push independent. I push some liberal views. But I push primarily patriotism. Do you love your country? Then this program's for you. Otherwise, there are other programs available. Now, something interesting happened the other day. After Devin Archer finished his testimony and delivered his remarks, he ends up in a chair sitting across from someone. Many would say, why is he sitting with this guy and why is this guy talking to him? That would be one of the latest Tucker Carlson's Twitter additions.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
when people say, well, there's some question about whether Hunter was trading on his father's name. If you live in Washington, like, that's the whole city right there.
Right. I think you know the answer to that. At the end of the day,
right, so
he had the best advantage to do that because of where he was. And, you know, we thought that when we went into business, this was a great opportunity for us.
So I get it. And you're not the only one who did that.
Right. There were a lot of
Hunter Biden's not the only son of a famous government official who's done this, right, at all. But I just wonder, like, when you hear people say, well, it's kind of an open question.
Right.
About why they hired Hunter Biden. Like, that's pretty disingenuous, no?
Right. I think at the end of it, so when you look at the whole, there are people that maybe were, you know, sons or relatives or brother-in-laws of other high-ranking officials, but I think what we ran into and with what Hunter ran into was like almost like an Icarus issue. So he got a little, it was too close to the sun. It was too good to be true, and the connections were too close and the scrutiny too much.
Yes.
And it ended up destroying, you know, it left a wake of a lot of destruction in businesses over a number of years.
Over a number of years, and there was Devin Archer sitting across from Tucker Carlson giving an inside interview. Now, he obviously was limited in what he could say about specifics of the case, but even generic questions can elude a lot of response. And Tucker Carlson knows, and I think we all know, that politics and lobbying is Washington. That's it. You want to go to the money center of the world, it's not Washington. It'd be New York City. Here, if you want to go to the world, the center of politics, it's D.C. And manipulation and trading and deals like that. And you heard Devin Archer refer to it. It was kind of like Icarus. You remember the story of Icarus? It's a Greek myth. Icarus gave himself his own death penalty. He was told after he created these wings that he could fly with, taking feathers and wax and putting it all together, according to the legend, the myth, he was told, do not get too close to the sun. The wax will melt, the wings will fall apart. And they did. And he fell from the sky and plunged in the sea and drowned. There is a political lesson to be learned there, a personal lesson. And it goes right along with the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So Devin Archer is acknowledging that. He's making it clear that, you know, maybe we just got too close to the sun. And by that, he's talking about the one in the sky, not Joe Biden's son. But in this case, it's one and the same. Tucker Carlson was also sharing part of a letter that Joe Biden wrote Devin Archer, because this was a letter that he just wanted to show his love and concern for Devin, and they were supposed to meet together, and for some reason Biden couldn't make it, so he wrote a letter, and then he signed off on it, personal note hand and so forth. And when you hear this set up by Tucker Carlson about the letter and the response, if you're driving your car right now, please keep a good, tight control on the wheel. I do not want you running off the highway.
It gets a 10 on the etiquette scale, but he's a vice president of the United States,
right,
and he's talking about foreign business deals with you and thanking you for
that. I think, again, it goes back to my earlier point. I think I hit the jackpot in finding the regulatory environment or company that can navigate right to the top. But, you know, obviously, as time was told, you know, being a little bit too close to the sun ends up burning you.
For sure. And it did you, and you suffered greatly for it. And this is not a criticism of you. I would think as a business guy, you use every advantage. These are not business guys. This is the vice president of the United States. He's not allowed to be working on businesses with foreign governments while he's vice president, I don't think.
Not that I know of.
But here he is.
Right.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And it's amazing. We'll have more of that interview coming up in the second hour. I'll remind you also, starting Monday, both hours of Larry Connors USA Daily Report will be carried right here on Newstalk STL from 6 to 8 starting Monday. Also remind you, remember our pledge, one nation under God.